Well, we also have a dog here. Now, whether your dog is a pedigree or a mongrel, the chances are it may be not that bright. Certainly, if you're a cat person, that's what you might think. Dogs don't always have the best reputation for intelligence. They sniff things and eat things they definitely shouldn't. They bark at nothing. They get stuck under cupboards. But is this a fair characterisation? Dogs do a huge range of things that many animals struggle with. We've heard that they can recognise human emotions. Some of them can remember lots of human words and be trained to do all sorts of things. Think about guide dogs and things like that. So how smart really is your dog? Well, to find out, we're joined by Roslyn Arden. She's from the London School of Economics, and she's been investigating ways to test dog intelligence and how this might provide insights into human diseases. And we also need to introduce our second guest, the very well-behaved Bounder and her owner, Carol. Hello, Carol. Hello,
hello.
Bounder. You've been so good. You're a good dog. Yeah. So is Bounder an intelligent dog, do you think?
Well, out of our three dogs that we've had, she's the most intelligent, definitely. She's been easier to train than our last two, but she's very driven by food. So if there's food involved, she will probably have a go at doing something, but otherwise, perhaps not.
She's been so good just sitting here very quietly. Can we do a few tricks? Let's do just a couple of tricks.
High five.
Oh, that's so cute. She's just put both paws up on your hand.
Lie down. Oh, roll thump. Over.
Here we go. Oh, this is great radio, great radio. Can we do a noisy one?
And the last one, speak. Oh, a bit less. Well done.
Excellent, thank you. So Rosalind, hello. Would you say that Bounder's an intelligent dog? How do you test intelligence in a dog?
I'm actually feeling slightly shocked. I think Bounder's more intelligent than some of my children. Rather shocking.
How would you test that then? How do you test how smart a dog is?
So the key thing is we wanted to find out if dogs vary from one another in intelligence. And so we came up with a few different tests that we could administer to a group of dogs. And we used something called a detour test. Can a dog find some food that it can see that's hidden behind a barrier? Can a dog discriminate between two different quantities? And we assume that when it comes to food and dogs, more equals better. And then can a dog follow a human making a pointing gesture and go to a bowl which has got a treat in it where the human's pointing at that bowl?
Right, so we have two bowls here and we have a dog. So let's do this test. Right, so we've broken the biscuits. We've got a biscuit in each of these two small bowls. They're going on the floor.
Taking back a bit.
Okay, no, right.
Taking back.
Okay, we're trying to make sure that she goes to one of these bowls.
Oh, Bounder.
That's
astounding.
Very good dog. So fantastic. Bounder has gone to the bowl that you were pointing at, even though there was a biscuit in the other bowl. What does that show?
Exactly. So in front of me on the floor, there were two bowls, each with a treat in, the same size treat. And I pointed at one of the bowls only, and Bounder looked at me, and she recognised, that I wanted her to go to the bowl that I was pointing at, and she just immediately went there. So we no one thing will tell you whether a dog is intelligent or less bright, but if you do lots of different tests, you can sort of get a general sense of whether or not the dog is, as Carol said, trainable.
And what can this actually tell us, studying dogs' intelligence, working out what they know, how they think about the world? I mean, obviously, dogs are cool and awesome, but what use is this kind of research?
Absolutely, very good question. So it's not just having fun with dogs and treats, although that's a marvellous way to spend your life. We were interested partly because dogs, unlike many other mammals, they get dementia, like we do, and their brain changes are very much like our brain changes when our brains get dementia as we age and develop that disease. And so we wanted to find out if there's a way of measuring changes in dogs' cognition. If we could measure, say, what a dog's like when it's young and healthy, it would be a terrific way to be able to measure that change as it goes through life and then see if there's some deficit as the dog gets older. And maybe dogs can help us understand dementia, and that's really what we're driving at in the future.
So from your experiments, what's dog intelligence like? I mean, there's all these discussions about what human intelligence and cognition is like. What do we know about how dogs think?
That's a good question. So what we were looking at is a dog that catches on quickly at one task likely to catch on quickly at a completely different task? So we don't compare dogs with people or dogs with chimpanzees or other kinds of primates. We say, given that you're a dog, the kinds of things that you can do, say, find your way around a barrier, navigate through space, discriminate between quantities, is your likelihood of being good at one of those things going to predict, to some extent, your likelihood at being good at another of them? So what we're really getting at here is the fact that with people, if you ask any teacher, they'll agree with this, that a big classroom full of children, there will be some kids who just catch on to everything a little bit more quickly than others. And we wanted to know, is that also true in dogs? Can we sort of give them a rank order in how quickly they apprehend something?
And so are there doggy Einsteins out there? They're like, genius dog, got it.
There really likely are. It seems most likely from what we know currently that dogs' intelligence is distributed somewhat like ours, that most of us are kind of in the middle and some of us are really, really smart. That's you, Grounder. Some of us are a bit less than average.
And if you had just one tip for people, dog owners, to train their dog to make it sort of behave a bit better or do tricks or do what they want it to do, is there sort of one top tip that you've got?
Be consistent. It's really easy to just give in and do whatever, but be consistent. And when the dog does the thing that you want it to do, if it's come, for example, the recall, never tell a dog off when it comes to you.
And in terms of dogs, you know, do we understand from their brains, very briefly, why they are so smart?
We think it's probably because they have co-evolved with us. They've been our partners for maybe 30,000 years, and so they've learnt to read our signals, to read our emotions, and to take account of our voice. And so we're very much partners with dogs.
That is a wonderful thing. Do you have a dog?
Yes, I do, a border collie called Jenny, but she's living with a friend at the moment.
Is she a smart dog?
Of course she is.
We've all got smart dogs. They're all joys to us. And a little hello to Ferdy, who's my mum's dog at home. Thank you very much. That's Rosalind Arden, Carol, and a very well-behaved Bounder the dog. Thanks to our other guests this week, Gregor Larson, Natalia Albuquerque, and Jane Ladlow.
And now it's time for Question of the Week. And this week, Claire Armstrong has been gazing skyward to find the answer to Lute's question.